Well, that is so great that to see so many people this time. That is very good. Nice. Well, I haven't been here for 4 months. And this is the first time I see the baby. Oh, that is nice. Good. Well, to start with the sermon, that I would like to ask you to look at the screen, that I have a short video that's just telling you what is in about the Ten Commandments. I believe everyone, whether you are familiar with the Bible or not, okay, that you all heard about Ten Commandments. Now, some believe that the Ten Commandments were written to frighten people because usually laws come with punishment and consequences. And some believe that if we cannot follow the Ten Commandments, then we cannot be Christians. Now, these two are the most common interpretations from the others. But how about you? Now, how do we interpret the Ten Commandments? Now, today, let us take a look at the Ten Commandments from another perspective. Perhaps we can gain some insights. Let's begin with three questions. The first question that I would like to deal with is, when did God present the Ten Commandments? The second question is, are there rules? What else does the Ten Commandments mean? And the third question is, why did God need to give us the Ten Commandments? So for the first question, when did God present the Ten Commandments? Now, when the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments, the first thing that he said was, I am the Lord, your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This clearly tells us who said it and when it was said. So, who spoke it? The Lord. How did the Lord get the authority to say this? It is because the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. It was with great price that the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt. So in the Bible, that you can see that our Lord hardened the heart of the Pharaoh. But the correct translation is that the Lord allowed Pharaoh's heart to harden. So not once, not twice, but a few times. So at the end, the Pharaoh forced the Lord to execute the 10 plagues, including killing the firstborn. And at the end, the Pharaoh let the Israelites go. But soon after the Israelites left, the Pharaoh again changed his mind, and he sent his chariots after them to the Red Sea. They followed, and at the end, they all drowned. The Israelites crossed the Red Sea on the dry land. Now, because of all those happens, the Lord has every reason and authority to give the Israelites the Ten Commandments. The Lord presented the Ten Commandments after the Israelites have settled down at Mount Sinai. This is about 3 months after they left Egypt. They are now saved and safe. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. God used past tense to tell the Israelites that he brought them out. He means that the salvation is done. God has never made any request before salvation except the preparation of Passover. But anyway, the preparation of the Passover is just a part of the salvation. So what I mean is, God didn't set up any requirement for Israelites to fulfill before salvation. It means salvation from God is always come before laws. And it can explain why Apostle Paul said, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Now when we read, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery," you might not have the impact about it. You just see, oh, this is just like a story. Okay, the Bible is just telling you the story, what happened to the Israelites. But the thing is, if we, okay, substitute the word Egypt to sin, then you will see the impact. So just like, "And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of sin, out of the land of slavery." Now, if you replace the word Egypt with sin, then this impacts you. Because what God wants to deal with is the sin, okay? Not your difficult situation. It's the sin at the background. So a lot of people who accepted Jesus because they are in difficulties or when they have problems. But I'm telling you, all the difficulties and problems that are, they all will pass. It is just a matter of how long it will take and how do you see the outcome. There has never been such things happen, or well, except miracle, that once you believe in Jesus Christ, then all the difficulties in front of you just go away like the snap of your finger. It is impossible. Okay? But the thing is, with Jesus Christ, we can see the difficulties in different perspectives, and then we know where to go, and we know that God is with you. That is the most important part. The salvation of God is not talking about how God pulled you out from the difficult situation. The salvation of God is talking about how God get you out of sin. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8, Paul said, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So dear brothers and sisters, the doctrine of grace comes first, followed by man's response. It is never change. God always prepare first and wait for our response. Last night, I was at a Alpha course. Then in the group discussion, I talked to one of the guys that he came to Canada for over 30 years, that his wife that has been Christian for more than 20 years. Now, he is a good guy because every week he goes to church with his wife, but he just didn't commit to Jesus Christ yet. So I asked him, What makes you not committed to Jesus Christ? What is the problem there? Okay. Then he said, well, I believe I'm not good enough to be a Christian yet. Then I tell him, well, this is not the excuse, because most of the people believe in Jesus Christ while they are in difficulties, while they are a bad guy. Once you find that you are good enough to be a Christian, I believe you're not going to be a Christian, because you find that, oh, everything is already so good, so nice. Why bother? We don't need God. We don't need Jesus Christ. So here the Bible tells us right at the Ten Commandments, just tells us that salvation comes first. The law comes afterwards. Yeah. The next question. Other than just rules, what else does the Ten Commandments mean? It is a common exegesis that the Ten Commandments can be separated into two parts. The first four commandments are talking about God, and the rest are talking about mankind. Now, we're going to go through it really briefly, okay, one by one, okay, because we don't have enough time. Now, the first commandment, you shall have no other God before me. This is a clear statement that God did not give any explanation. Now, Egypt is a polytheism country. They worship so many different gods. Israelites, they might see Yahweh is just one of the gods, not the only one God. So therefore, Yahweh has to make a clear-cut statement right at the beginning. So same as today, a lot of Christians still think of the Lord is one of the gods. When they are in trouble, they still go to other temples, they still go to do the palm reading, crystal ball, fortune teller. This is not right. Because what we are believing is the only one God. Okay? Once we do that, we break God's heart and we are not walking with our Lord. The second commandment looks very long. Okay? The main idea is we cannot make for yourself an image of God. But God is a spirit. No one sees God before. Apostle Paul said, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant being made in human likeness. So Jesus is both God and man. When we look at Jesus physically, it doesn't mean God looks exactly the same. It is because God made Jesus in human likeness. Now, when we are going to make an idol for God, we put lots of creativity, imagination, and idea into it. So as a result, we have multiple idols to represent God. Then the people may confuse which one is the real one, which one is more powerful. I make today something like this with two hands, then the other guy makes this one. This is the one that I worship. I have three hands. I'm stronger than you. The Lord that we are worshiping is not like that. The Lord do not have a physical look. Okay, our God is a spirit. The third commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. It is the matter of respect. Now, have you seen that there is only the name Jesus that we use it as a swear? Okay, no one use other religious leader as a bad word. I don't know why. Maybe this is easy to say, right? So instead of calling Jesus for help, they use his name to blame others for their wrongdoings. Now may I ask, anyone of you would like others to make fun of your name? No way. Eh? Because the name that you have, that your parents is really think about how to name you. This is the name. This is your identity. This is for the people to respect you. If you don't want that, then don't do it on Jesus' name. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The Bible explains that in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Remember that at the end of every day, the Bible said God saw that and it was good. Now I have a question on why God made the seventh day so special. In my imagination, I thought God used the seventh day to just sit down and look all his beautiful creation and enjoy. So the seventh day, let God just sit down to look at it. What makes it so special? Right. We encounter God's miracle every day, but most of the time we take it for granted. We don't see any special about it. Wait until one day you lose it, then you realize how precious the lost item was. We should spare some time to make it holy, to separate, and then just sit down to appreciate God's miracle happened to you. A lot of times, many, many little things that in your daily life is still a miracle of God. If we don't have the time to sit down to appreciate it, okay, then we are not going to give thanks to our Lord. Because that we all find that, oh, this is all I did. We all give all the compliments to myself. Okay? Actually, this is all God's work. Now, the first four commandments are talking about the relationship of God and mankind. It is talking about a vertical relationship. We look upward to the Lord. Then the coming six commandments are about the relationship between men. But the thing is, when you look at it, it doesn't mean the last six commandment is no God at all. That is not, it doesn't mean that. That you can still see the interception of God. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Parents are the representatives of God on earth. If we didn't honor parents who you can see, you are not going to honor the unseen Father in heaven. Parents have the authorization to teach, to guide God's children on earth. A lot of time, children find that parents are too annoying, not letting them to do whatever they want to do. Please don't blame them. This is their responsibility to take care of you on behalf of God. Make sure that your parent, make sure you grow on the right path. The sixth commandment, that you shall not murder. You shall not murder is not because of punishment. It is not because of if I kill someone, I'm going to get killed. It is all just because of life belongs to God. Only God has the authority of controlling life and death. All the mankind is created. So you and me are the same. I don't see anyone is more superior than the others because we are all created by God. The seventh commandment, that you shall not commit adultery. Now, commit adultery can be explained in two ways. The first one is dealing with sex. Any sexual relationship outside marriage is considered as adultery. The second one is talking about keeping the contract. God has a covenant with Israelites for the whole life long. The covenant is talking about Yahweh is Israelite's God. So Israelites are Yahweh's people. In case Israelites worship other God, Israelites is the one who break the covenant. God cannot accept anyone who betrayed him. The eighth commandment, you shall not steal. God prepared everything for every one of us. It is fair to everybody. Now sometimes we think that this is not fair because he has 5,000 but I have only 3,000. I want to have 5,000 so I steal 2,000 from the others. Now, in this case, that we don't respect God's decision. I have only 3,000, maybe because my ability is only able to manage 3,000. Right? So God is just giving you whatever that you can handle. If God is giving you more than what you can handle, okay, you are just going to be spoiled, or God is going to ruin your life. We focus on what we don't have, and we forget that we should use whatever we have to the full extent so that we can have the best result. A lot of time, we just focus on what we have, and then think about, if I have some more, it will be better. This is all we do every day. But the thing is, we should put it into the other perspective. Say, oh, this is what I have. How do I make use of it to get the best result out of it? Once God sees that you have the ability to manage the 3,000, He is going to give you 5,000 next time to see how you can handle it. You don't have to steal. The ninth commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Now you can interpret it to do not lie. This commandment was originally asking the people not to lie during giving testimony in court. So if you didn't tell the truth in court or give false statement in court, you would hurt the innocent. Yeah. And God sees it very seriously that we cannot give false testimony. The 10th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now this is a tough one. It is because for the first 9 commandments, they involve action. So you are going to do something that you can see you put it in action to breach the law. Okay? But this one, okay, we are talking about something in your mind. Okay? It is just asking you not even think about it. Wow, then this is hard. Right? So, well, you can control yourself not to commit crime, but every second you're thinking of, oh, this guy, he is a bad guy. Oh, how can I get, how can I steal from it? How can I get more from there? It is all talking about in your mind. The problem is, if something bad in your mind, it is going to lead you to put it into action. So this, the 10th commandment, is a tough one. That we cannot have any bad idea in our mind. So now, talking about relationship with God and relationship with human being. So the 10th commandment, when we look at it other than laws and regulations, then we can look for it, say, this is talking relationship. But how do we relate to God, and how do we relate with the people around us? If we have a good relation with God, because of God, we treat the rest of the people evenly. We treat the rest of the people kindly. We don't murder, we don't steal, we don't commit adultery. Then we're going to have a good day. Think about the trouble that we have today. Okay? I can say over 80%, okay, is all because of man's problem. Because of you don't have a good relationship with others. That's why you have so many troubles. Okay? Others like earthquake and something else, that is the other story. But from day to day, we have a bad relationship with our working colleague. We have a bad relationship with our classmate. It is all because of the relationship of man. But the 10th commandment tells us, once we have the good relationship with God, we do everything because of God, then we will treat the people nicely. That is the vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with man. So question three is, why did God need to give us the Ten Commandments? Now let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 to 19. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Now in the Old Testament, when every time when God needs to talk to the Israelites, that is all happens is the thunder, lightning, the trumpet. So make it so scary to the Israelites. So every time when God say, "Hey Moses, get prepare the people to listen, I am going to talk to them," all the Israelites, they are so scary. So they ask, "Hey Moses, how about you talk to God and then you relate God's message to us? We are going to listen to you all the time." So that's why Moses is the first prophet in the Old Testament. Okay, because he is the one to relate God's word to the people. Then on verse 20 is here. So Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." Now, I would like to go back a little bit to Genesis chapter 3 to study the consequence of Adam and Eve committed crime. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 7, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverage for themselves. Once after Adam and Eve have eaten the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, their eyes opened." Now here, the focus is on Adam and Eve after sin has entered. The focus on Adam and Eve is after sin has entered the world. Guilt was the result of their sin because they felt they are naked. Now, how would you feel if you were naked? If you were naked, you go to this, and then you hide. This is normal, okay? This is all what we do. Well, put it in the other way it is. If you do something that your parents ask you not to do, okay, then what did you do? Okay, so there is a box of candy right there. Your parents ask you, "Hey, not to eat it," okay? Because if you eat it, then you are going to have the cavities in your tooth. Then, oh no, this candy is so appealing. This candy is so attractive. Okay, there are so many. How about I just get one? My parents would not know about it, right? So you get one and then you eat it. Oh, once you eat it, then you say, "Oh, let's go hide," because you are afraid of your mom were able to catch you. Now, the thing is, once you committed sin, the guilt get into your heart right away. Even before the punishment here, you run away. Right? Now, at the time when Adam and Eve that ate the fruit from the knowing bad and good tree, then they just hide themselves from God. It is because the guilt is inside their heart. But at the end, once God finds them, okay, then the punishment comes. So they run away before the punishment. The thing is, God presented the Ten Commandments, ask us to do this, to do that. It's not because of trying to make a chance to give us punishment. It's because of God so loved us that He even doesn't want us to have any guilt in our heart. So if we don't commit all those sin, we don't have the guilt in our heart. then we're going to have a happy life all the time. So Ten Commandments, okay, is not for the sake of punishment. It's just because of God loves us. Or at the time that we see the Ten Commandments, God presented the commandment, God didn't present the punishment right away. Right? God just asked us not to do this, not to do that, to do this, to do that. And that's it, right there. So if we are just following exactly what God says, basically, God didn't need to present the punishment about committing all those crimes or sin. So we are already every day in a good day with happy life, that we don't have to worry about guilt, we don't have to run away, right? So the other angle to see the Ten Commandments is just because of God loves us. Now there was one time that I shared with the scouts, that we have scouts in our church. The topic was jealousy. Now sometimes sins can be very strange, right? Because as a child, you are not taught how to lie or to be jealous of others. But the thing is, children learn how to lie and get jealous naturally. You don't know why, but we do it. So therefore, if we relied on ourselves not to commit sin, not to commit crime, is kind of impossible. Moses teaches us the secrets of not sinning is to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord is quite abstract and sometimes difficult to understand. But simply speaking, it means always have God in our hearts. If God is in us, we will know the will of God, what He would want us to do or not to do. Doing the will of God and avoiding otherwise is to fear the Lord. Just like you know what your parents want you to do, what your parents don't want you to do. If you do whatever parents want you to do, then you're going to have a very good relationship with your parents, right? Then your parents is going to bring you to McDonald's. Right? Otherwise, oh, no McDonald's today, right? Oh, no park today because you are such and such, right? But if we are just only doing the good things to the to your parents, okay, then whatever you ask, your parents is going to give it to you. That is exactly the same to our Lord, that God wants us to do good things. God do not want us to commit crime, not because of punishment, it's because of God don't want us to have bad feeling. God doesn't want us to have the guilt in our heart. So today we go through the Ten Commandments again. I don't know that the way I interpret the Ten Commandments that really helps you to understand more about the Ten Commandments or not. But the main idea is the Ten Commandments is helping you to have a good relationship with God and people. We need to have a good relationship with God because He is our Lord. We keep a good relationship with people is not only because we love him or her, but because of God. So all humans are being created by God. We are all the same. We love each other so that we can have a harmonized society. That's why Jesus said, okay, I'm going to give you a new covenant. It's love. Now, at the Jesus time, okay, all those Jewish, okay, that that they are all just talking about laws, that God said, well, law is something just in the field, on the surface, but at the back end, that we are talking about love. We love God, we love each other, okay, so that we can have a harmonized society. Let us bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Ten Commandments that you give us. To let us understand that the Ten Commandments that you give us is all because of you love us. That you ask us to do whatever that we can to have a good relationship with you. And at the same time, we treat the people around us good so that we have a good relationship with people, and at the same time we can have a good relationship with God. So God, that you are the one that you create us, and you ask us to follow you, that may we ask you, Lord, to encourage us that not to follow the world but to follow you, to do whatever that you want us to do whatever it is that good to you. That we ask you, Lord, to help us, that to have you in us, in our mind, in our daily life. In Jesus' name we pray.
All right, let us stand and sing.